blaster and tumbled away, but the armorer paid them no attention. Several horses came to a stop, and men began to dismount when a woman screamed, and the startled riders turned their attention to her for a moment. But that split second was all that JB needed. Flipping the weapon over, he worked the bolt with his jaw and clumsily placed the barrel of the blaster to the knotted ropes and fired a short burst. The horse bucked wildly at the blaster fire from underneath, making him drop the weapon, but the rope was torn to pieces and he fell to the ground. Heavy hooves stomped all around JB, sinking inches into the soil, and he frantically rolled clear. Then he threw himself back under the beast to reclaim his blaster. Angry voices sounded from the advancing gray men, and several drew big flintlock pistols. Another uncoiled a lasso from his belt.
Fuck you!
JB started firing on full auto, spraying the cold hearts with half a clip, turning quickly in a full circle. Those closest to him fell over, riddled with copper-jacketed lead. Startled by the noise, the horses bucked and the riders cried out, clutching the reins with both hands, unable to attack for the moment. Then the UZ jammed, and JB feverishly worked the bolt to clear the malfunctioning cartridge.
No, not now.
Horses circled him, kicking up clouds of dust. A blaster fired in a thunderous boom, the black powder blowing an acrid cloud of smoke over the area, and his fedora was yanked off his head by the near miss. Shit fire, too close. Cold adrenaline filled his body, and slamming his fist onto the breech, JB got the round loose and started to fire 9mm rounds at the masked riders. He jerked the barrel of the Uzi away from a horse with a woman bound across its back, exactly as he had been. Then he recognized the ragged clothing. It was Anne. Just then, a lasso snaked out of nowhere to land around the man's shoulders. As JB jerked away, the rope drew tight and he was yanked off his feet, but he kept hold of the Uzi. This was how the bastards got him in the ville. It wasn't going to work twice. Another landed on his boots, and he managed to slip out of the closing loop. Running toward the rider holding the rope loosened the lasso, and JB shrugged his way out. A third flew toward him, and the armorer blew it out of the air with a hip shot. Going to single round, he fired again and again, constantly moving to avoid any more of those freakishly accurate lassos. A riderless horse slammed into his side, knocking JB to the ground. Hooves pounded everywhere, one coming so close it grazed his cheek. Hugging the Uzi, he rolled away to avoid the smashing hooves. He fired twice more, and the blaster clicked empty. Throwing the weapon at a gray man, JB took off at a run, pelting down the riverbed with all of his strength. The banks were too high to climb easily. He had to find another section where he could get into the jungle. The horses and lassos would be useless there. He'd have a fighting chance to live. Flintlocks fired from behind, and the ground puffed as the mini-balls plowed into the hard soil. That only spurred him on to greater speed. Then he heard galloping hooves, and he knew they were after him again. No way he could outrun a horse, even with the load of dead bodies each was carrying. Turning in mid-step, JB dashed for the nearest embankment and started to scramble up the side of the riverbed. The soil broke loose under his hands, and he kept sliding back down. But he was still making headway. Less than a yard to go, then he slid back 2 feet. Throwing himself to the edge so tantalizingly close, JB grabbed hold of the grassy top when a flurry of blaster fire rang out, and he braced for the arrival of the hot pain. Then the blasters roared again, and he realized those weren't flintlock shooting. Glancing over his shoulder, JB saw the rest of the companions charging up the riverbed in the old bulldozer, Ryan in the shovel and steadily triggering the stire. Another gray rider fell, and the last one turned to flee when Doc unleashed the Lamar. The hand cannon boomed like doomsday in the confines of the riverbed, and the rider flew out of the saddle to land on the ground in a crumpled heap, with most of his skull blown away.
Get those horses!
JB released his grip and slid down the embankment on the seat of his pants. As Ryan turned off the dozer, several of the companions started to walk toward the horses, talking softly and making clucking noises with their tongues. The beasts were skittish, but obviously well-trained, as they didn't bolt. Soon the 5 horses were gathered by the reins and brought back to the dozer.
Whoa there! Easy does it!
Christy tethered the reins to one of the hydraulic lifters of the dozer. The animals sniffed curiously at the huge machine, but didn't shy away. Then she noticed the heavy scarring on their flanks, not from spurs, but whips. The horses had been beaten into submission like any human slave. The will to rebel crushed completely. They wouldn't have dared to run away. Fear ruled their hearts. JB limped over to the dozer.
We're gonna need those animals to get Ann.
His clothes were torn and bloody in spots, his hands turning purple from the tight ropes cutting off the circulation.
We know.
Jack produced a blade. Carefully, he cut away the remnants of rope from the man's wrists.
Thanks.
JB rubbed his sore wrists. They were chafe marks on top of his old scars. It wasn't the first time he'd been bound by rope. Dean and Christy walked up to him.
They came in through the windows. Almost got me and Mildred, too. I think they knew it was the Baron's home.
Want a drink, JB?
Dark night, yes.
The canteen was passed over, and the armorer drank greedily, the excess running down his cheeks. Then he poured some into his palms and washed the dirt off his face.
Ah, better.
JB returned the canteen. Then he hawked and spat, and bloody saliva hit the ground. Damn, busted a tooth.
Got my hat?
In the dozer. What happened?
Mildred checked his face and ribs. There didn't seem to be any serious damage, just a lot of fresh bruises forming. The wiry little man was as tough as old boot leather. Briefly, JB explained while reclaiming his dropped blaster. The Uzi was dusty and dirty, but undamaged. Ryan passed over a box of 9mm rounds, and the man reloaded the 30-round clip. All of the armorer's spare clips and ammo were now with the gray men, plus his munitions bag. A few yards away, Doc went to one of the corpses and pulled off a gray mask. The face underneath seemed perfectly normal, no obvious mutations or differences. How odd. One at a time, he went through their clothing and found several flintlocks, plus several pounds of black powder and lead shot. He filled his ammo pouch and left the rest. As far as the old man was concerned, the abundance of black powder for his Civil War blaster was the only good thing about these wretched islands. Ryan checked the cinches on the saddles.
5 horses, 7 people. Gonna be slow traveling, but we've got no choice. Ann helped me escape. We have to at least try to get her free.
Agreed.
Stroking the neck of a horse, Christy looked up the riverbed.
They'll know we're coming.
But not when. We use that.
We had best tend our mounts before departing. They have been used most strenuously for quite a while.
While Dean climbed the bank and got some green grass for the animals, the companions let the horses drink from cupped hands, but not too much. They didn't want to slow them down. When the grass arrived, the poor things ate as if ravenous. Afterward, Mildred went to the clear stream, intending to refill the canteens, but upon testing the water, she found it was heavily polluted and totally undrinkable.
You okay to ride? Took quite a beating.
JB slapped the clip into the rapid fire and worked the bolt, chambering around.
Try and stop me.
The dozer works, and we have juice. Found a cache in one of the cargo containers.
Too slow, and they'd hear us coming for miles. Besides, we used most of the juice getting here. Had it in high gear all the way. Damn near blew the engine.
Mildred looked at the growing puddle of fluids on the ground.
Correction. We did blow the engine. Looks like a cracked block.
Phew. Aced.
Then we ride.
Ryan stepped into the stirrup of a big stallion and hoisted himself into the saddle. The animal was larger than a normal horse, like those back at Front Royal. Its ribcage was noticeably wider, its legs longer. It could probably run forever without getting tired. With practiced hands, he patted its muscular neck and scratched behind the ears. The horse snuffled with pleasure and response. Even as a kid, Ryan had always liked horses, and any animal worth its brass responded to kindness better than the whip. The gray men were triple stoop. Dean climbed into the saddle behind Jack.
Just like the Carolinas.
JB offered Mildred a hand, and she awkwardly climbed onto the beast right behind him.
Wish we had the Leviathan.
Jack adjusted the reins. He was pleasantly surprised to find the horse was bridle-wise and well-tempered.
When fat, what do it girl? Could make litter and drag behind.
Ann will ride on her own horse.
Ryan gently kicked his heels into the stallion's flank.
There'll be plenty of extra mounts by then.
The companions started off in single file, staying very close to the left bank to hide their approach from any scouts in the northern trees. The majority of the island stretched to the north, so that would be the logical place for the gray men to go. The plan made sense, but it was only a guess. They could have a ship moored in the southern harbor. Keeping the animals at a leisurely trot, the companions watched the embankments for any sign that the riders had climbed out of the natural passageway. The miles passed, and the sides slowly lowered in height, until only a few feet tall. Easy passage for the long-legged horses.
Over there.
Doc gestured with his stick at the embankment. Dark earth showed where the ground had been churned from the passage of hooves.